Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The funniest thing in the news today is the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama who fled China years ago. He fights for independence for Tibet. He said that the communist leaders in Red China, the communist leaders have parts of their brains missing. That's got to be the funniest thing in the news today. It's funny how Republicans seem to be oblivious to the switcheroo that the media pulled on them, because the liberals, the left, the socialists, and the communists were the Reds. And that goes back decades. And it includes the Soviet Union and Red China. I mean, we call them Red China. The Reds were the socialists and the communists. And so in America, the political party that was identified with the socialists was the Democrats. And so the Democrats were red and the Republicans were blue. And that's the way it was for some decades. And back around, it's reported, you could find it on the internet. I've tried to edit the Wikipedia article on the topic. Typically, liberals will reverse an edit done by a conservative or a Christian or a creationist or someone warning about Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, any controversial thing like that. Typically, we'll put something that's indisputably true and referenced, and a pro-abort, atheist, homo, whoever will come along and just revert our comment. But I have tried in the past to edit the article about red and blue. Here in America, we even have today redstates.com, right? Which is a conservative who brags about being Republican and conservative news. And they simply never noticed when the media, ABC, NBC, CBS, the New York Times, they got together and very consciously said, we are going to switch the colors on the Republican and Democratic parties. So from here on out, the Republicans will be the Reds. They did that. And I don't recall a single conservative Republican even recognizing it. It doesn't actually matter. But history is filled with tradition that helps people understand the world we live in. And so you have Red Chinese, the Communist Chinese, and the Dalai Lama says that the leaders of the Communist Party in China have parts of their brains missing. That is really funny. Of course, the Bible, you go back 3,000 years, and it said that a good man's heart is on his right, and the fool's heart is on his left. And right and left have been identifiable for millennia. For example, in many languages, the words for right, like right hand and on the right, are the same words for correct and good and just. And the words for left are the same words for sinister. And that's true whether you're looking at a Chinese pictograph or the French language and so on. So you don't want to be left behind. You want to be right. And the good man's heart is on his right. And the fool's heart is on his left. So there's this film that has an encore showing tomorrow evening called Is Genesis History? I got to see it. It was a Fathom event, and it did so well. It is showing again at theaters all over the country tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 7th, typically at 7 p.m. And so, Lord willing, I plan to go again. In fact, I want to tell you about what happened after the film. But here in Colorado, I'll be going in the Denver metro area to Colorado Mills. You'll want to go see it. Is Genesis History? Many of the scientists interviewed in the film are friends of ours, friends of Real Science Radio, and ones that we haven't interviewed, I've met with and traveled with, and It's just a real worthwhile film, and I want to talk about some of the details about it, but also Judge Neil Gorsuch from Denver, the radically pro-homosexual judge who was nominated by Donald Trump for the U.S. Supreme Court. We have an update on him on Colorado Right to Life's website. I'd like to get to that later in this program, but Neil Gorsuch, radically pro-homosexual, and we've seen that over the years, and the same thing is true with Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, who then, of course, not all, he's pro-homosexual, and those who have been homosexualized are among the most aggressive child killers, pro-aborts, in the world. The homosexual group is radically pro-child killing, dismembering unborn children. So it's another bit of tragic news about Neil Gorsuch to hear how aggressively he supports homosexuality. We'll talk about some of that. Our telethon, we reached $21,000, just over $21,000. Thank you, everyone out there who has given. Our goal of $30,000. It truly, we said it's a vital goal, and it truly is a vital goal. It's going to be a challenge to know how to proceed now with us not reaching that goal. It's a good thing Doug McBurney's not here on a Monday. He usually is. Lord willing, he'll be here later in the week. Doug, if he were here, he'd say, it doesn't matter that it's March. We're going to continue the telethon till we hit our goal. But Doug is not here, and so there's no mutiny happening. I don't think he's not behind that door, is he? No, he's not here. So I think we need to end the telethon, even though we didn't reach our goal. But Lord willing, we'll figure out a way to keep things going on the shoestring budget that we operate on. And we're so thrilled we accomplished so much with the resources that we have. In fact, Denver Bible Church, it's referred to as the little church that could. The little church that could. And although I won't talk about it on the air, part of the film is Genesis history. Part of the film comes from the teaching at Denver Bible Church and on Real Science Radio. If you're a longtime listener to Real Science Radio and you see the film, you'll be able to spot exactly what's in it that comes from Real Science Radio, unique to our teaching that gradually is being picked up by creation scientists around the country and around the world. Okay, so the film is Genesis history. I strongly recommend this film. Is everything in the film consistent with the creation worldview that we promote, Fred Williams and I, on Real Science Radio? No, there are a couple things in there that we hotly dispute, but that's okay. The bigger picture is that tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people in the theater are seeing powerful evidence that the evolutionary worldview is crumbling and that the scientific evidence overwhelmingly affirms the biblical worldview that the earth is young, that there was a global flood, and that life itself, including the astounding information in our genome, in the DNA, not only of the human beings, but of millions of different kinds of organisms in the world, that that information points to the hand of the Creator who literally wrote on our DNA the information to help build the human body. Every time a new child is conceived in that single cell, there is there, not only in the genetic information, but in all the codes. There's the genome code, and there is the electromagnetic code, and there is the sugar code, and there is the, basically it's a geographic code. So many codes. And these codes, like the genome, as you'll see in the film, has layers of information. Codes on top of codes on top of codes so that it is so wildly sophisticated, astounding. And creationists typically will call it complex, but it's something far beyond complex. I mean, complexity is evidence against a natural origin, of course. But there's something far beyond complex, and that is sophistication, where something is not complex, like a Rube Goldberg machine, just for the sake of being complex. There might be complexity, but there's also sophistication, beyond imagination. So it's so exciting, this film, out in theaters, an encore showing Tuesday night, tomorrow night, March 7th. Around the country, it's showing typically at 7 p.m. So, as a Fathom event, I went last week, I saw the film. And as people were leaving the theater, I asked, you know, strangers, as they're coming out, I said, if you'd like to talk about the film, some of us are going to go across the street to the Yard House restaurant, which we did. And so five of us ended up talking for over 2 hours. I mean, the manager bought the first round of drinks, which was really nice. Well, the first round, it was the only round, just to make that clear. But we had the most wonderful time. We got to know each other as strangers, and then we got to share our own observations about the scientific discoveries of the world around us and how exhilarating it all was, and that it was put in such an interesting film that was hosted by Del Tackett, who did the Truth Project years ago with Focus on the Family. And at Denver Bible Church, we showed the Truth Project. It's lengthy. It took a few months to get through it in our adult Sunday school class, but we saw it and we'd stop it and talk through it. Really fun. So now there's this important film, Is Genesis History? Perhaps after the film, this encore showing tomorrow night, perhaps on the air, I'll go ahead and talk about some of the details of pros and cons in the film. But at this point, the cons are insignificant because the important thing is to get people out. If you have a friend or a family member who's not committed to a Christian worldview or to a creationist worldview, and you think they might be willing to go see a film where a lot of people won't go to a church, or they don't want to go to a creation conference or read a creation book, but maybe they'll go to the theater, especially if you offer to pay for them and get some popcorn. And it's totally worthwhile. I mean, it is so absolutely worth bringing friends, bringing your family. So I plan on going, and then as people are leaving the theater, I'll take a few minutes and invite strangers again. If you want to talk about the film we just saw, some of us are going across the street to the Yard House. And so, Lord willing, we'll have another wonderful time of fellowship. All right. So, oh, and by the way, who did we? Well, we got a call. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Being on the air for 25 years, 5 days a week, and we have a call. Now, is this from North Dakota, this call?
Yes, it is.
Is this Matt Noah?
Yes, it is.
Matt, what an honor to talk with you. It's been many years, friend, since you and I chatted.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time. It's Operation Rescue Days back in Colorado from along the Front Range.
Yeah, and I'm not big on Facebook, but after they took down my account, they said I was impersonating Bob Enyart. And so I went ahead and bit the bullet and created a new Bob Enyart account and thought, hey, let me try Matt Noah. And sure enough, Matt, there you are, standing up for the truth and the innocent and for marriage. So how are you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing okay in many regards. I'm very blessed. Now I've been going through some back surgery, so that hasn't been very fun, but
no.
living the good life in North Dakota. I guess the biggest blessing I've had since the last time we were working together was getting married to a Colorado gal and having seven kids. And
seven kids. It has been a long time, right?
About seven kids ago, yeah.
Yeah, so congratulations. What a blessing. My wife, Cheryl, and I, we're at the tail end of raising seven boys, and our kids are now 16, 17, and 19, or something like that.
And ones at home, huh?
Yeah, the ones that are still at home, we call them the homeboys because they're still at home. But what a blessing it has been. And so what's the age of your kids, Matt?
Oh, my oldest is 22, then it's 21, 18, 16, 13, 10, and 2.
Oh, wow, what a gap there.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, congratulations. That's a blessing. Back when you lived in Colorado, we were involved in the fight to protect unborn children. That battle still rages. In fact, I remember, Matt, that you ran for U.S. Senate with the explicit purpose of being able to run ads on TV statewide to show people the truth of what abortion is.
Yeah, that was through the blessing of the Federal Communications or Election Commission, which requires all federal candidates for office, not statewide offices like governor or attorney general or any of the other offices, only federal offices, so Congress, Senate, President. Those ads were protected, and unless they showed certain things, and I'm not even sure what those certain things were, but we showed the actual aborted babies. Mm-hmm. All the airwaves, and none of the stations had any right to say no to those ads being broadcast.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't do too much for my election results, but that wasn't the purpose necessarily.
No, of course.
Of course, you're always running to win, but, you know, it's just not a popular thing to upset people.
So thank you for doing that. Hey, do you recall, I'm sure you must, that one night there was a gathering of homosexual activists in Boulder, Colorado. And a friend of mine, Leon Gonzalez, and I went. It was in the basement of a church. And
Yes. You
went, and there was a gal there. I don't recall her name. And we went, in essence, as a protest to using this church to promote something that was so immoral. Do you remember the name of the church?
It was St. Thomas Aquinas. It was the campus church for the University of Colorado in Boulder.
All right, St. Thomas.
And it was a Catholic church, and the priest had given permission and then gotten the heck out of Dodge. And I think the next day when the Archbishop of Denver read that, I think there was a few faithful Catholics and some other Christians being arrested, and things changed. Now it's a very, very conservative Catholic church there in Boulder.
So, Matt, when what I recall at that event, there were over 100 homosexuals, maybe 120 or so in the basement. And Leon and I walked in, and we did not sit with you or the gal that was with you because we wanted to all do our own parts and to observe and to, you know, try to reach these people if at all possible. And before you guys stood up and started praying, they had a time of announcements. And so I raised my hand and said, I'd like to let you all know that we do a daily talk show on the radio, and we discuss homosexual, gay, and lesbian issues every day. And they said, oh, great, what time is it? What station? AM 67, they wrote it up on the board. They were so excited to hear about this. So at any rate, after that, you started to pray, and they called the police. And if I recall, the police used pain compliance technique on you. I think they were bending your arm behind your back. I seem to recall your eyeglasses may have been broken. You were peaceful, but in the greatest tradition of peaceful civil disobedience, you were non-compliant. And you let out a blood-curdling scream because of the pain. And what the group did was instantly they cheered. They cheered, and I thought about if this was a pro-life event and a pro-abort or an atheist or a homosexual was in pain, how we would all feel terrible for that person. There's no way we would cheer. But these homosexuals cheered at the cry that you let out that you were in pain.
Well, I don't remember too much of that. Your memory is probably a little bit better than mine. But, yeah, we were definitely not welcome. They were passing the collection plate for something. It was all about some proposition that was going to expand, what we called special rights for homosexuals into either the Colorado Constitution or some initiated measure.
Well, Amendment 2 passed statewide to protect Christians and others who didn't want to comply with the homosexual agenda. And Judge John Roberts, who then George W. Bush nominated to the Supreme Court, John Roberts, after Amendment 2 became law in Colorado, he volunteered for Equity Colorado, and they argued to get the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn, to strike down our statewide amendment, which has happened. The Supreme Court did that, and since then, hundreds of Christians, not only in Colorado but all over the country, have been sued for not complying with, not promoting the homosexual agenda.
Yeah, there's things like making somebody bake a cake against their sincerely held religious convictions. You know, clearly a First Amendment issue. You know, those types of things. And well, yeah, I didn't know that Amendment 2 had been repealed in Colorado.
Yeah, and it was done at the hands of John Roberts, who conservative pro-life Christians lobbied for him to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. They succeeded, and he's the key vote in upholding Obamacare rather than striking down.
That was a real problem.
Yeah, and here at Bob and Yurt Live and Colorado Right to Life, from the day he was nominated until now, we were a voice warning about John Roberts. By the way, it's not only Christian bakers who've been sued, but pizza pie places, people who bake cookies, people who arrange flowers, people who give haircuts, photographers, student clubs, doctors, forget about boys-only Cub Scouts, forget about morally straight Boy Scouts, forget about adult Scout leaders who had always been heterosexual, forget about heterosexual dating services, forget about NCAA-affiliated college campuses, printing T-shirts, hosting weddings on your church property, subpoenas for sermon transcripts. All of this has been, these are all lawsuits and government actions against Christians who don't want to support or promote the homosexual agenda.
Yeah, they certainly have made strides, and to the detriment of the society in general. But you know what? I certainly believe God has a plan, and it's a little mysterious at times. But I do know that we're just supposed to be faithful and follow him. And if we have to take up a cross, well, you know, we have a good example to follow in that regard.
Amen. Hey, Matt Noah, what an honor, Matt, to talk to you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, well, good luck to you, Bob. I hope God's blessing you. And if there's anybody out there that remembers good old Matt or that nefarious character, Matt Noah, from 25 or 30 years ago, you know how to get a hold of me through Bob now, I guess.
That's absolutely right. We'll link to your Facebook page, Matt. May God bless you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now, there was a reason why we went to contact Matt Noah this morning, because we're trying to recall the name of the church in Boulder that was promoting homosexuality. So it was St. Thomas Aquinas. The reason we were curious about that is because Judge Neil Gorsuch goes to a church in Boulder, which is a radically pro-homosexual church, St. John's Episcopal Church. And Gorsuch has been pro-homosexual for decades. I mean, for at least a quarter of a century now. He has affirmed, been excited about one of his law clerks who married another man, and this was before even the U.S. Supreme Court upheld homosexual marriage. He's had multiple homosexual law clerks and homosexual friends who he he is excited about their affirmation of his positions on homosexuality. And this is relevant because homosexuals are among the most aggressively pro-abortion groups of people in the world. So Colorado Rights Alive has an article about Judge Gorsuch. And there, at the end of the article, it says, "Gorsuch, Roberts, and the homosexuals." And I'll quote from it for you. "Colorado Rights Alive was one of the few pro-life groups to warn Christians about George W. Bush's nominee, John Roberts, who subsequently severely harmed the nation, including by upholding Obamacare. Like Roberts, Neil Gorsuch promotes something that those who hate their neighbors refer to as gay rights. Homosexuality is horrifically destructive, and in the public square, homosexuality and Christianity are mutually exclusive. In 1992, Colorado amended our state constitution with a short-lived Amendment 2 designed to protect Christians and others from being sued for refusing to comply with the homosexual agenda. John Roberts volunteered to help Equity Colorado get the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the amendment. Lawsuits and government action against Christians, both here and nationwide, now abound. And of course, while many pro-aborts argue that men have no right to speak about abortion, in one of their countless hypocrisies, they welcome pro-choice homosexual men, which group, by that pro-abort standard, would have no standing even to offer an opinion. Yet, of course, homosexuals as a group are the most aggressive to advocate for the dismembering of unborn children. And now, in 2017, a radically pro-homosexual Donald Trump has nominated pro-homosexual Neil Gorsuch. This federal judge is confirmed as pro-homosexual by the homosexualized church that he attends in Boulder, Colorado, by his homosexual clerks, note plural, and by the affirmation of his close, longtime homosexual friends, including one who says that Judge Gorsuch was thrilled by our homosexual marriage. Jesus said that God made us male and female at the beginning of creation. And it's a bit late for secular and religious rebels to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." But those in opposition, if they could, would destroy God in order to vindicate themselves. That's why there's a hell. So if you love your unborn neighbor, you will fight to protect him from the abortionist bloodlust. And if years later that child has been caught up in the homosexual rebellion against God, you will have your second chance to love him. If you know right from wrong and have love to give, you will not affirm him in his destruction. Unlike Neil Gorsuch, you will warn him. So that's at Colorado Right to Life and their article on Neil Gorsuch. Hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. May God bless you.